1909, 1910. Very famous, the Shackletons. You know, the Shackleton expedition lost its way. But they sent back these films. One of the crews came back. So these films were brought back while the ship was disappearing, gone forever. And the whole interest in the Shackleton and all that had a lot to do with, they're all these adventure types, you know. It's amazing, though. There they are. These are Americans, but then, of course, the Norwegians get there, right? The Amundsen manages to... There's some Norwegian films where they're trying to get the penguins to eat, so they keep fish and penguins running back and sliding around, you know. Yeah, so they're, this is just about different science things, whatever. These are just imaginary places that... Oh, it's again, Jesus Christ. Yeah, she doesn't stop talking now. Okay, anyway, then science, industry, automation. So these are all... These are just, I mean, it'll probably be about maybe 5 or 10 times the size when it's done. Technology in the body. These are all the weird therapies that they had. Yeah, I guess. Supposed to. I don't know whether it's supposed to get your penis hard or just melt it. I don't know. It's electricity to help you. Thought perfectly. Nervous breakdowns, the war, and then this one. This is a famous film. You've probably seen this, maybe. Pretty great. And this is just this is a sampling of some of the images. Then, you know, there's a workstation of the future. There's just a few here. Scientists showing their new systems. So there's 2,200 images. And it's in the novel, it's done by chapter. Here it's just done by theme, you know. Just to give you a feeling for it. They're nice. I have some people from Mars watching Earth. Here's a businessman in the future. Having a little cocktail while he's... It's like that. This is, what is this? Well, let's just stop. It's enough, right? Enough of that. It's a very, very big thing here. Flight, like I see, flight. Flight itself, and flight and travel. Dense city, this is the impossibility of the city. Also the future ideas of what the city could look like. Imagine, this is just one image. They're so elaborate. Pretty great. We have the rights to all of them, so we can use them all, right? We can't use them on the internet. We have to be careful which ones to put on the internet. No, I mean, I think they're just really, really amazing. This is a famous film. Oh, does it start? Watching the film building being taken apart. It's an early time lapse film. The theater was being torn down across the street from where they were, so they kept filming it regularly. It's nice, huh? Yeah, early time lapse. I think it looks, and I love this thing. the film is just not fast enough to catch everything. Yeah, it's pretty great. Definitely great. Yeah, this one is a nice one. This is people And the Brooklyn Bridge finally allows cars to take over instead of horses. People, you know, getting thrown off, right? Because of the cars. See, I think the people in Vienna would like this kind of stuff, you know? What do you think? This is obviously Germany. What's this? That one? Yeah, it's nice. See that one? It's one of the films of the city. I think that's New York. Just by the rhythm, just by the look of what people wearing, these kind of hats and, you know, it just looks more American. It says First Street, ST, yeah. Grand Avenue. Yeah, it's probably. Really gives you a feeling. They always like, there were certain shots that they always took all the time too. It's nice, huh? And one of them could be her, right? Could be the character.
Hey, it's great. Was they put the mounted the camera somewhere on the train?
Yeah, something? Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was the easiest thing to do. Put it right on the trains. They had lots of things on trains. Yeah. And here's, is this German? Different people in the city. The quality of the illustrations are also so extraordinary. One of our favorites is this one here. Let's see if I can find it. Hidden behind there. What's here? No? Yeah, this one. Because you look at it and slowly, this is 1910, but slowly you realize that this doesn't exist. So, and you can't drive it backwards and there's no wind. And obviously that place really exists. And they really were flying. It's just this completely, the propellers aren't turning. I mean, everything, you can even see what's cut out. So it's a kind of Photoshop. What's this? Is this a film of some sort? I don't know. Oh, I see. Sure, I went the early glimpse. So it's the discovery of the aerial shot. You know what I mean? Because bird's eye view, you're looking this way or looking that way, but aerial, you're going straight down. This is like GPS or something. That was the weird discovery to have an aerial. It's nice, huh?
Yeah, I think it's really. These images are really exceptional.
Is this German too? I think this is German also. It certainly looks German, doesn't it? Does it look kind of German to you? I don't know. These just look like Germans to me. Satirical Germans anyway. With the hat, with the little glasses held on like that. And then this looks like a German, right? Well, it is German, I think.
We didn't do Austrian stuff. I mean, maybe we should have, but. And so the idea is to find out which one is hidden, right? This is underwater. And this is also a fake picture, I'm pretty sure. It just doesn't look right to me, you know? It just doesn't
look right. Why is this so bright and not so dull? It doesn't make any sense. But this did happen. The flying machine was there. There's so 2,200 of these. And this is a famous one. You may have seen this one. People going to the opera in the future. This is clearly Paris, right? I mean, that's definitely Paris, right? Is there any doubt? So it's the year 2000. This is just a sampling. And the story, the chapters follow the process, the experience of this woman, more or less, and her four suitors. She has four men, as it says here, describing the novel, right? A modernist picaresque. You first meet Carrie in Chicago in 1893 as a girl of 16. Her father, a swindler, gradually auctions her off to the wealthy son of a powerful old family. The marriage that follows proves a sensational disaster, right?
Anyway, then it goes from there. The story of a woman who in 1901 selected four men to seduce her, each with his own version of the new century. So we have the chapters about her life and her issues, and then we have a separate chapter for the world that each one of the viewers, each one of the suitors sets up. And then there's an article about her written around 1913 where she's described, they call her the bride strip bear. And then that term is located by Duchamp, who then models the great glass on the legend that had been associated with her, because she shot a man in 1908 but didn't go to trial and so on. So she becomes something of a legend in New York. Meanwhile, while the legend continues, she's back in Los Angeles, in Southern California. And then her life goes on. And then the four suitors, of course, have their own lives also. One of them winds up with her still, to some extent, but for the most part, she's not made for marriage. She said, basically, the bride strip bear decides to be a bachelor, you know.
Like this lady, was it Lady Somerset from this Hymenay, from this mask?
Yes, oh
and
yes.
She also killed,
My God, that's right. Oh, the mask, oh my God. I wonder if that was in my mind, because I wrote that before I wrote this. It's funny how things work. You know, the man didn't die in this case. He was just shot. It didn't go to trial. But the legend became... So I guess in a way this is a mask also.
You know, a legend inspired Duchamp. Carrie's actual story takes a different turn. This is weird, I think. She is indeed the bride strip bear, but she learns how much better it is for a woman of her temperament to remain a bachelor. Carrie discovers her own way to cultivate her garden, or rather her 50 orange trees near the San Gabriel foothills under the shadow of the Mount Lowe Observatory. That's the story. There's the home, the novel, and there's a curator's essay, and this will get a lot larger. So it's a historical science fiction novel. I call it the Wunderroman. And obviously, it lends itself toward other artists' responses. You know, like one of the exhibitions were 11 artists sort of answering the novel with artwork of their own. And then I know that in Germany they built a large 19th century balloon to project part of it on. It was 11 meters.
But it happened already.
Yeah, I was there for 2 years. ZKM. But that's the old interface. Now the new interface, as you can see, is much more narrative and vivid. And Mexico City, they put it inside an old power station from the 19th century. Unfortunately, the show opened on the day of the swine flu epidemic. So they had to pull it out from Indonesia, as it's called, and put it in an art school around through the building. There was a two-room version of the exhibition in Orange County, a museum there. And my understanding is that a variation of it was in Istanbul and in Stockholm. And I wasn't there to see how bad it might have been. Probably terrible, but it did have exhibitions there. Then they had a Day of Wonder devoted to it in Michigan. And they were going to project it inside a planetarium. But they couldn't get the anamorphics to work. They couldn't get the projector and the images strong enough. It just wasn't good. They didn't have the full... they only had basically JPEGs. They needed the full thing. But also, you can't project without having some anamorphic adjustments if it's curved, right? It's simple. The way I say it, of course they can, is because we know, we've seen people project inside round surfaces all the time. It's just a matter of knowing how to adjust it, certain adjustments. They made some adjustments in Germany on the balloon, which is similar. I think a curved inside is a little bit more complicated. Or what you do is you just put it in the center. In other words, you just put a piece of foam core, right? And then you just project in the center and let the... give it a Baroque look, right? Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of ways to do it in a planetarium. And of course, these things would look fantastic. And then it has 5 to 7 hours of music composed for it. And the composers are just dying for anything to work on. They just love this. Yeah. They did a special parabolic speaker version where you walk through the different layers of sound and cylinders of sound that you walk through. I think that would be nice, and maybe even have those sound waves that erase each other and make vibrating feelings on in your clothing and up your body. So I think definitely the sound people would be fun to include. And then there are objects, of course. Whatever objects people have, people should include them. I originally wanted to include the dress she wore and the gun she had when she shot him, because I found the gun. And I found the kind of dress where women would hide a gun. There's certain dresses that lent themselves in their ruffles for little secret pockets where you could hide a gun. And so we had permission to display those. But we're going to have them go to Germany, but they decided they wanted a 33 foot balloon instead. So we realized that there was no competing with a 33 foot balloon. it's a lot of variety, right? There can be little in separate workstations. At Disney Hall, they had them in workstations for a couple of weeks. People just operated. Now these are just warm up. We're going to try to have more elaborate shows now if we can. Not so much elaborate like fancier, but just all of it being delivered more completely. It could be sound. It could be spatial. It could include actual objects. It could be projected onto almost any shape. It could be just workstations. Where people operated. There'll be a book, of course, with the discs in the back of the book, and the book will have the complete novel. Mm-hmm. So it's the novel that you read, and so on. But by chapter, using those big maps.
How would you operate if you have it on the screened on the planetarium?
That's to be decided. You could make it thematic, and just go with all the images that look like they belong in the planetarium, right? For example, the image of a large electronic device to put on your male genitals would look funny, but maybe not too effective up in a planetarium. To have this gigantic ball holder, right? Jockstrap. That might not work, but a lot of the flying devices and all of these lost worlds would probably work very well. Particularly the flying devices, I suppose. There are also some people who've done animatics from it. They've made little films from it. I could show you those sometime if you wanted. Where they made a spatial environment. Let's see. I think I can. Oh, here it is. Here it is. I mean, this was just done over a weekend, basically. Oh, but. He's a good designer. Is it okay if we show? Is this interesting?
Sure.
Oh, I wonder where this went. I like those old 30s. This is Boris Karloff playing Mr. Wong, a Chinese detective. Didn't see him over there. Anyway, this was done by a media designer. And that you can see how this is another. This points to another possible set of possibilities. It'd be nice to be done with it, except the project will go on for another 4 years. It's logical; it should keep going. People responding to it, adding things to it. But that this has a kind of planetarium-like effect. That's great. Always a new surprise, right? So does that mean that my DVD? To think that our entire world was in the hands of these machines financially, and still is. Anyone who's worked on a computer will know how strange that is. Unless there's something wrong with the disk. I mean, it's just been sitting there for a while, so I suppose anything can happen. So that's a different approach. That could work in a planetarium, something like that. Don't you think? His name is Schweitzer. I think Austin Schweitzer. He specializes in video work, even for Broadway. It's nice, huh? So there could be many possibilities. Here he's just doing simple cutout animatic around a circle and puts things in a circle. It looks good blown up, this. So that could, something along those lines could easily work for a planetarium. And then the anamorphics wouldn't matter as much. Do you know what I mean? Even if it stretches a little in the corner, it would just look weirder. We could get the rights to that too if it came to it. But I don't see why, if he's able to do this in a matter of weeks, I don't see why there can't be people in Europe who would do even more amazing things. And I could follow the story, or it could be a voiceover, or have the musicians work with it. So I think this lends itself toward a planetarium, I think. Now that they have a Mexican version of it also, which is somewhat rather different, where things drop, fall off each other. So in effect, people fall from one plane to the other, from one blimp to the other. So you just have characters who pop from one and then reappear in the other, and you can sort of spin it around. It's fairly easy to work with. There are a lot of simple programs that can take this, and all the images are ready, completely ready. And they've been cleaned, I don't know how many times. Just cutting them out. It looks very Jules Verne-like, no? So that would be a thought about it. And then even if it looked like the anamorphic might get too much, you take all these Japanese kind of effects around it. And I think he was on the right track. Good ceiling work, huh? We had this on the balloon and had it on the wall in Germany. It looked pretty good, I thought. So a lot of people are playing with it. So we have our story, we have our object, but the idea of allowing people to really operate with it and bring things to it, I don't see the point of anything less than that. Cute, huh? It's about a 5-minute loop, I think, the way he set it up. Knowing, of course, that no one will stand for something more than 5 minutes in a museum or a gallery. People just don't have an attention span beyond 5 minutes. I'm told that by this curator that the average time people look at a piece of art when they're walking through a show is less than 10 seconds. So the whole sum of 5 minutes is like... and you probably watch it for maybe a minute, come back and see that it was at a different moment. Just very simple dissolves, and then just a very simple animatic around it. It's a fairly coherent device. It has a look like a watch, almost like one of those nautical watches, you know, for divers or something. Yeah, looks like with all those crazy buttons around them. So it has the idea that it's a kind of instrument. Oh yeah, there's sound to it also. Yeah, you don't hear any sound?
Yeah, I do.
No, the sound was done by the composers. They're ready to compose for anything. You want to make an opera, they'll compose for that. I mean, they had sound that could go for each decade, for each era, and they're willing to reassemble the sound regularly. They love this. It's their obsession, obviously. Carrie Seekins and Aaron Drake. It took them about 7 months, I think, to set up the basic system, and now they have all of this. I have no idea. I'm sure it's at least 5 hours. 7 hours, and they can just manipulate them. She's a sound engineer, more or less, and he's a composer. You like it, huh? You can see how many possibilities can come from an idea like this. That would be the spirit of the planetarium. I think that could work. People would be looking in the side and the front and seeing the whole thing, and it would be filled with Baroque special effects. But turn a planetarium into a Baroque environment. And so, and you could have some of the things seem to disappear off the planetarium, come back. He's got a good head. To do that in basically maybe 2 weeks is a sign of someone who's really, really good at this. I mean, what if we'd given him 2 months? We're even thinking of using this as an interface for the whole story. But it would make it a little bit too dreamy. And the idea is novels that are too dreamy really have to be experimental, translated by from surrealist in the 1920s or something. It just wouldn't generate, it couldn't carry enough embedded in it to make the story work. But still, it's very lovely. It looks like it's about lost worlds. Also feels a little like the state of mind of the United States right now. Sort of spinning slowly in a syrup of some kind that they can't figure out. What is the syrup? They're living in violet, right? Filled with foreboding, and therefore there is no way to settle into the future or to really establish the past. You must live in a plastic surgery of the present. Yeah, you seem to like this. Oh, you want to see the whole thing? You want to see the whole cycle? Yeah, that face is great, huh? Yeah, that's from the 1893 World's Fair. It has Chicago World's Fair on its head, so that's the obviously a truly astral projection. But a weird smile. There's something about the smile that looks wrong. It doesn't look happy. It looks forced. It has to smile at you, but basically, it doesn't give a shit.
Also the eyes.
Yeah, really strange. Yeah, no, we've used that various times. It's on the website also. It just lends itself very easily to this kind of thing. See, there it is again, used another way. It was, we have the rights to it. It's never been reprinted since 1893, that face. And this one hasn't been reprinted since 1908, as far as we can tell. You know, it says something like the world as I see her, this fantasy figure. And the man who did this later on drew the picture of Uncle Sam pointing at you. His name was H. Montgomery Flagg, and he was a very fashionable guy. So that project is definitely evolving almost out of my control, which is fine. I mean, I'll have the book. You know, I'm the author or whatever it is. Margot, whom you saw, is the curator. And so we're happy to have other people work on it. What could be better than that? So whatever people want to do, you know. There was somebody who wanted to try to turn it into a feature movie, get Hollywood interested, but there was something wrong about it. It just felt like they thought, well, they were nice people, but they said one thing that definitely decided me not to do, convinced me not to do it. Well, what they said is, you seem to have some connections. We could try and use those. And I sent them an email to the effect that if you think my connections actually count, now I'm terrified about what your connections are. If my connections counted, I would have used them. Obviously, I'm the last person anyone would talk to directly. So I think we must be very far, far away, in which case I'd rather wait and concentrate on my books and do it later. Yeah, I mean, if people think I have connections, then they're in trouble. In the film industry, that can't be a good sign. But there's some people in Mexico who wanted to make a film of it. And there's a lot of people just want to have the images, but because they're so unusual. And we'll have to figure out all these possibilities. But when the book is out and the rest of it, then we'll have another series of shows. So, I mean, if you go to Vienna, the book would be with it. So you already have a book printed. So then you'd have that. You can have a special edition printed, right? Viennese edition.